Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Reading verses 28 and 29. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 and 29. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And our subject this evening is power to the faint. Well, we continue through this book of Isaiah. We are studying and meditating upon and rejoicing in this 40th chapter of Isaiah. We've seen many wonderful things, and we will get to the end of the chapter this evening. But just to remind you, it's a chapter of comfort, initially for those Jews who would find themselves in captivity in Babylon. A great trial was ahead of them, and so Isaiah seeks to comfort them. And how does he comfort them? Well, he reminds them of the almighty, awesome power of God, the God who has stretched out the heavens, the God who created the seas and all that in them is, and all created with great precision and order. And furthermore, as we considered last week, the Lord rules over his creation in verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. He is sitting or ruling as one would sit in government, sitting in power. He is ruling over all things. He did not simply create all things and then abandon everything to chance or to their own devices. No, the Lord is ruling over all things, and again, with a precise measure, just as he created the heavens and the earth precisely, he is ruling over all things precisely, according to his sovereign will. Everything is ordered to his will, and everything else compared to the Lord, of course, is nothing and less than nothing. That was made very clear in these verses. Even the Babylonians, even the Assyrians, nothing and less than nothing compared to the Lord. And we remind ourselves that's a great comfort to us, particularly at the present time. We see all these forces, we see all these authorities, we see all these powers gathering in the world and seemingly persecuting the Lord's people and gathering pace and so on. All of these powers and authorities are nothing and less than nothing compared to God, compared to the Lord who is on our side. And so these are the words that Isaiah brings to the people. The Lord who is our God is far greater than any earthly power, and so we have nothing to fear from earthly authorities. We have nothing to fear, even with our own personal challenges, sin, for example, sin in our lives. Various temptations can seem so strong and invincible, and yet compared to the Almighty God, to the Almighty power of the Lord, they are nothing and less than nothing. We can lay hold upon that power. We can stand in the power of God's might. If only we believed that, if only we believed that we really do have the God of almighty and abundant power, and we can call upon him, we would have that victory over wickedness, over sin in our lives, over temptation. And so we pray that the Lord will help us even this evening as we read these words, that we will be stronger in our lives to overcome those difficulties and to comfort ourselves. This chapter is a chapter of comfort. So may the Lord bless these words to us. But we begin In verse 25, which is where we left off last week, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Well, we focused on that last week. Our God is incomparable. He is holy. He is set apart. He is unlike anything else. Nothing can be compared to him. And we thought about that last week. So we move on to verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. So lift up your eyes on high. Here is another appeal to the children of Israel, to Judah and Israel, all those who will be taken into captivity. Look to the living God. Do not look to idols of wood or stone that we considered earlier in the chapter. Idols of wood or stone, well, so often you have to look down to see idols. Look up, says Isaiah. Look up to the one who is most high, to the living God. Look to the heavens, our Father in heaven. You must look up to him. And well, I've already referenced Psalm 121 several times. What was the instruction there? Lift up your eyes. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Lift up your eyes. And indeed, this is an instruction not just to Judah and Israel. This is an instruction for all mankind. All mankind, the whole human race. God created man upright. Unlike the animals, of course, on all fours, man was created upright. And a great part of the reason why he was created upright was that he could lift up his eyes on high. It reflected what he was created to do. He was made upright because he had that capacity to have that relationship with God, to know God, to love God, to walk with God. All the other animals, they were earthly, of the earth. They had their faces, their heads down to the earth, as it were. Man was made upright so that he could lift up his eyes to God. And so this is an instruction, an exhortation to all men. And this is what we declare to all men. You must lift your eyes on high. Look to God. It's such a tragedy, of course, in this day and age and in every day and age, that men refuse to lift up their eyes to the living God. They seek earthly solutions to all their problems, so many problems in this world, so much turmoil and tragedy and wickedness, as we have just prayed. Everybody is looking for the solution, but they won't find it unless they look up on high. They must look to the Lord. I remember once watching one of these panel shows on TV with lots of politicians on them. There was one episode or one program, I think just the one, they had a Christian on there, a Christian politician or somebody representing a church or something like that. But all these problems, of course, were mentioned, the political problems, social problems. And this Christian was saying, well, you must pray. We have to pray for these things. We have to turn to the Lord. And of course, the whole audience were mocking and laughing and jeering and thinking, this is ridiculous. Who put this person on the panel? This is not serious. And this is how the world reacts to us. But you know, as long as they laugh, as long as they mock, none of their problems will ever be solved. In fact, their problems will just get worse. Because what we ought to do is lift up our eyes to God. Lift up our eyes on high. And behold, who hath created these things? The Creator God, look to him that bringeth out their host by number. Well, this is speaking of the heavenly host, the stars in heaven, not just the stars in the night sky, but we think of the sun, the heavenly bodies, the moon also. Observe all these things, not to worship them, which the pagans did, of course. They looked up into the heavens and they started worshiping the sun. You have the sun god and the moon god and all these things. They weren't to be worshipped themselves, these objects, creation points to the Creator. Look at these things, these great heavenly bodies, these things that are up in the sky. Does it not make you think of the Creator, how awesome He must be? How great and magnificent He must be? Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. Creation points to the Creator. Creation is not to be worshipped in and of itself. And we read that the Lord calls them all by names. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. Well, this is speaking of God's knowledge. Firstly, of God's knowledge of all creation. The Lord knows His creation. There is not a star in the sky that is not known of God. There is nothing in creation that is not known of God. And God knows all things perfectly. It speaks of His knowledge, but also it speaks of His authority. He calleth them all by names. The Hebrew perhaps implies that God, the Lord, is calling as a master would call servants in his household. That's how He's calling them. Not just that He knows them, but He is calling them, and they are under His authority. They do His bidding. That's really the sense that comes through here, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. He is in the position of authority, strong in power, and He can call everything in creation to do His bidding. That's the great sense here. By the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. So He knows His creation, He has authority over creation, and not one faileth. Well, you can apply that, of course, to the heavenly bodies. Not one star deviates from its course or constellation. Everything in creation does what it is created to do. But let me just add another application that we can make to this whole verse. And you can apply it, not to over-spiritualize this evening, but you could, if you wanted to, make this an evangelistic verse, or at least a verse applying to the Lord's people. Because, we're being told about the host, the heavenly host, the stars in heaven. And was it not promised to Abraham that his people would be as the stars in the night sky? Genesis 26, verse 4, I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. The Lord's people, we are likened to stars in the sky. We are lights in a dark place. This world is a dark place. And we are stars, as it were, shining, reflecting the glory of God. He knows us, of course. He calleth them all by names. Well, of course, this is how the Lord called us out of this world. He called us out of darkness by our names, personally. He personally called each one of us. So you can apply it in that way. He calleth them all by names. He knows us, and He has chosen us from before the foundation of the world. And not one faileth, not one of His people will be lost. Once we have been called, once we have been chosen, not a single one will be lost. The Lord will keep us. He will keep us in the way of grace, the way everlasting. And He will keep us to the very end. So you can see the gospel even here, the Lord knowing us, calling us, and keeping us. And just to mention that, because struck me as I was considering these verses. But let's go to verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Well, Jacob and Israel, again, they are to face this great trial. They will be led away captive, led into Babylon. And they will be saying to themselves these words, My way is hid from the Lord. They will be saying to themselves in words such as this, or in a sense such as this, God surely has forgotten us. It is as though God does not care about us. God does not see us, as though we are hidden out of the sight of God. We are out of sight of God. We are out of the mind of God. That's how they would have felt. That's what they would have been thinking to themselves. And my judgment is passed over from my God. God is not going to help us any longer. God is not going to make sure that we are dealt with justly. Because, of course, they would have thought to themselves, this is all very unjust. We are the Lord's people. We are being taken into captivity. This is so unfair. But, well, they will think to themselves, well, God is no longer interested in whether we are dealt with justly or fairly. He will pass over us judgment, what is just. He's going to pass over Judah and his people. He is not interested in whether we are dealt with fairly anymore. And, well, this is how they thought. Of course, this is how we so often feel, or we can so often feel, when we face trials and difficulties. We can feel that our way is hidden from the Lord, and we feel drowning, as though we are drowning in distress, in terrible hardship. And we say to ourselves, God doesn't care. Does God even see this? Or is my way hidden? Is it as though I am hid from God? Does he not care that all these things that are happening to me appear to be so unfair? Where is his justice now? So often we can feel like that. But when we do, we have to come back to these words and remind ourselves, as Isaiah again seeks to remind those whom he is speaking to, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Basically, he is saying, you are not suffering because God is weak. God has not lost strength in that you are now being led into captive. That's not the reason why you are suffering. Neither is he weary. He's not being negligent as though he's sleeping on the job. What is the reason, therefore? There is no searching of his understanding. That is the reason that is given. There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, his ways are not our ways. And the prophet Isaiah himself is going to explain and repeat those words and clarify those words a little later on in chapter 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And this is the only explanation that Isaiah gives. There is no searching of his understanding. His way for us is far different. We all have a certain idea or a certain plan for our lives. We have in our mind's eye the plan that we would like our lives to follow, how our lives should pan out, how they should be. And if they don't go according to our plan, well, we think something has gone terribly wrong. This wasn't meant to happen. But actually, nothing has gone terribly wrong. Everything is perfectly right according to the Lord, because the Lord is over everything. And his ways, they are beyond understanding. There is no searching of his understanding. His ways, we cannot even begin to understand them. They're not wrong. It's just we don't understand them. They are too high for us. They are too perfect for us. They are too genius for us. You know, sometimes you meet people who are very intelligent. They are geniuses in some ways. And you can't even keep up with their thoughts. They're talking and speaking in a way that is far above you. You can't even keep up with them. Well, how much more with the Lord, with his ways and his plans and his will? How much more for him? We can't understand these things. But dear friends, Our duty is not to seek to understand. We couldn't, even if we wanted to. It's not our duty to understand. It is to trust. Trust that His ways are the right ways. Trust that His way is the best way. And that His way will indeed lead us to that expected end. His way will lead to true peace and to true joy and to true happiness, of course. We will have that expected way, but it will not be by the way that we expected, if I can put it that way. We'll have an expected end, but it won't be by the way that we expected. And so this is how the Lord works. There is no searching of His understanding. This is the will of the Lord. We cannot fully grasp it, but we trust that His way is right. And so these are the words of the prophet Isaiah, again, to comfort us. There's no searching of His understanding, but we trust and we know that the Lord will do all things well. But then verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. He giveth power to the faint. Well, again, if we put these words into their context, the Jews, of course, at this time going into captivity, or just about to go into captivity, they were in a weakened state. They were faint, as it were. But it was necessary, again, it was necessary that they be made weak in order for the strength of the Lord to be shown, to be made manifest in them. And this, again, is the way that the Lord works in us time and time again. We say it time and time again. We see it in our lives. We are made weak. Why does the Lord make us weak? So that the Lord can then show us what He can do with our weakness, with weak vessels such as we are. Judah, Israel made horribly weak, brought to captivity, but it's to show, it's to prove to them that their strength will not be of themselves. It will be of God. And so this is how the Lord works. I will give power to the faint. This is how He does it. There's no real value in giving power to the strong. Giving power to the strong, what's the value in that? They're already strong. But if you give power to the faint, there's value in that. There's glory in that. And this is how the Lord works. He gives power to the faint so that all glory goes to Him. Giving power to the faint, to those who are weak. We know that we are weak, and it's only when we acknowledge our weakness that we will truly know the strength of the Lord in our lives. And that's in contrast with what we read in verse 30, which reads like this: Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The young are mentioned here, but really it's not railing against young people. This is speaking about those who trust in their own strength. And the young people are typically those who trust in their own strength, but youths really are a type of unbelievers, those who don't look to the Lord. Those who, like the young, are very proud, very sure of themselves, self-sufficient, like young people are. I don't need any help. I am strong. I don't need God to help me. I'm full of health. I'm full of strength. I'm not going to die, just like young people. Very complacent. But the young really here are a type of unbelievers. They trust in their own strength. They don't look to the Lord. But you see, when you trust in your own strength, well, your own strength will run out very quickly. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You trust in your own strength, it's limited. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. The youths shall faint and be weary. You see, the strength of the world is a delusion. It's a delusion. In fact, they think that they're strong. They're not strong at all. And this, you can even apply this to young people. So many young people think that they are strong, full of vigor, and that they can do all things. They can't. We see even now in this society, young people seem to be suffering more than any other group, more than the middle-aged, perhaps even more than the elderly, suffering emotionally, can't cope with the world, suffering physically. It's the young people, and they are the ones who supposedly are the ones with the most strength. It's a delusion. And so this can apply to worldly ideas of strength and self-sufficiency. It will all fade. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But who are those who will keep their strength? Verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That is what is being presented here. The contrast between those who think they are strong, like young people, like young men and women, and those, whatever age they are, who wait upon the Lord, who depend upon Him entirely. They are the ones who shall renew their strength. Now again, this is something that we need to clarify. This word renew, it literally has the sense of exchange. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's an exchange. In other words, weakness, our weakness, is exchanged for strength. Weakness is exchanged for strength. That's the meaning of the Hebrew. It's literally used for a change of clothing. But our weakness, if we apply it in this way, is exchanged for strength. There are times, of course, in our lives of considerable weakness. There are many times when we stumble, when we are so very foolish, when we fall into sin even. But the teaching of these words is that we will recover. The Lord's people will truly recover. They will be renewed. And this is important for us to understand, and is supported by other scripture passages. You don't need to turn to these, but these will make the point very clearly. Micah chapter 7 and verses 7 to 8. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. You see, he's waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord, just as Isaiah says, my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. You see, this is a great illustration of what I'm trying to say. Micah and all believers, we are weak. We all fall. But what happens when we fall? We shall arise. What happens in those times when we sit in darkness, and we all have those times? The Lord shall be a light. We shall be renewed. We are weak, and yet the Lord will exchange our weakness for strength. Or perhaps we can consider 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 4. And verses 7 to 9, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the weakness of our flesh, earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, God's strength, weakness, but God's strength. And then we have those words, we are troubled on every side. That's our weakness, yet not distressed. That's God renewing us. Weakness and strength. We are perplexed. That's our weakness. But not in despair. That's God renewing us, renewing our strength. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted in our weakness, but not forsaken. God is our strength. Cast down, That's our weakness, but not destroyed. That's God renewing. So this is the way the Lord works. We are weak, we stumble, we struggle. None of us ever breeze through the Christian life. But the Lord visits us in those difficult times and he renews our strength. This is so very important. The Lord doesn't remove the obstacles, at least not all the time. Sometimes he does, all those great challenges. But rather in those bad times, he visits us and he exchanges our weakness for strength. That is the way he delights to work in. And with that strength, well, then there are wonderful blessings. Just to finish this chapter. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Well, eagles were known for their energy, still are known for their energy and vigor. Even until old age, eagles have quite a long lifespan. And well, we can apply that to ourselves, the Lord's people. Vigor, even into old age. That, of course, applies most to that inner spiritual strength that we have. Remember, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, again renewed. The inward man is renewed day by day. Weakness renewed by strength. And this is, this is the wonderful thing. When we come to faith in Christ, we are kept and we have our sights set on heavenly things. Again, that's suggested by these words. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We, as it were, we live on a higher plane. We have heavenly mindsets. Our eyes are set on heavenly things, on eternal things. And we can ascend above our trials. We can soar above our trials. Leave them all behind. Because our hearts and our minds are set upon heavenly things. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Well, this is speaking perhaps more about willingness than speed. They shall run and not be weary. If you run, you have to be willing to run. It's about willingness. And this is about the willingness to obey. Willingness to obey the commandments of God. We are willing. I will run the way of thy commandments, said the psalmist. Psalm 119 and verse 32. We are not weary in well-doing. This is really what is being communicated here. They shall run and not be weary. Again, because our hearts are set upon eternal things. We will not be weary. Because we know there's a glorious reward ahead of us. And they shall walk and not faint. Well, the Lord will give us strength equal to each day. Every day we walk with the Lord. Every day we face challenges. But the Lord will give us strength and grace equal to every challenge. This is the promise. We shall walk and not faint. Never anything more than we can bear. It may seem like each day brings something more than we can bear. It very often seems like that. But the reality is, it is not. The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us to walk and not faint. Of course, the devil will tell us otherwise. The devil will tell us that God is being unkind to us. You are hidden from God. Judgment is passed over. God doesn't care about whether this is fair or not. But we believe the words of the Lord. We will walk and not faint. God will always uphold me, and he will uphold me to the very end. He will preserve me. You can see and hear the doctrine of the preservation or the perseverance of the saints. We will walk with the Lord We will never be lost if we are truly saved. We will never fall short. We will never fall away from God's grace. They shall walk and not faint. They will not fail. They will be kept to the very end. This is God's promise to us. And we will, at the very end, soar to heavenly places and dwell with the Lord forevermore. Well, this is the comfort, dear friends, that we have. Wonderful words. I cannot do them justice as much as I would like to. But read these words. Read these words even when you get home and meditate upon them. These promises of the Lord, how he gives power to the faint, to the weak. We are all weak, every single one of us. But we desire to be strong, and the only way is to wait upon the Lord and depend upon him entirely. May the Lord bless us and keep us each one.